Next topic that we're going to discuss is antibiotics. As you're well aware, antibiotics have been a very intense thing in the media for the past several months. This is not a surprise to me. I'm a little bit surprised that it took as long as it did for this to become as big an issue as it is. And I am going to actually go through all of Dave's points to make sure that I get everything that I'm supposed to say in. But let me just start with this point. You should recognize that NPPC and pork producers have led on an awful lot of issues politically in animal agriculture. And this is certainly one of them. Our PQA Plus program that we have today actually evolved from an effort that was started in 1999. And there's basically three legs to the stool, if you kind of break it down in a simplistic way, like a Southerner will. If I'm talking too fast, tell me, I'll slow down. And they are animal health, interestingly, which has a lot of effort spent on the importance of prudent, judicious, appropriate use of antibiotics, and the fact that there needs to be a VCPR, a veterinary client-patient relationship, in order to make the appropriate decisions involving antibiotics. This is not something that's occurred as a result of the recent attention to the antibiotic debate in food animals. This is something that was done, has been evolving in place for the last 16 years by the leadership of NPPC. The second part of it is animal welfare, which we're all well aware of the stresses that all of animal and poultry agriculture have been under for the last several years in that regard. It also is one of the key legs of the stool for the PQA Plus program. And finally, environmental stewardship. You know, and I think I said at forum that 20 years ago, pork producers' primary challenge seemed to be environmental. Last 5 years or so, it's primarily been animal welfare. And here recently, the big stress points have been antibiotics. Well, I don't know if the leadership, my predecessors, had a crystal ball or what, but those were the three things that have evolved with an effort of continuous improvement, environmental stewardship, animal health, animal welfare, the need to have the pros involved in making those decisions all the way back from when it all started in 99. So now I'll go on script. So Dave's heart rate will slow down. We recognize and have always recognized the need to protect the availability of medically important antibiotics for animal and human medicine. And I've said this before, I'm going to say it again. Those of us in agriculture will never win, nor would it be prudent or smart to point the finger at our human counterparts, the physicians, in an effort to defend our use of antibiotics. The reality is we need to take an approach looking at one health and one plan. And indeed, yesterday I spent 8.5 hours, I think, at the White House with a meeting of physicians, members from CDC, FDA, everything. I'm a guess, just round numbers. There were about 100 people there on the human health side, probably 50 of us, a lot of veterinarians, a lot of brain power in that room, looking at trying to cooperatively work together to try to face the issues and challenges of antibiotic resistance internationally in the world. This is not just a U.S. issue. NPPC, before this all came to a head, had already taken the position of encouraging producers to phase out the use of medically important antibiotics for growth promotion. Well, you're probably aware of what's called FDA Guidance 209 and 213. That's what they say. And a lot of companies have made statements saying, oh, we're going to eliminate antibiotics from our supply system, whether it's retailers, food companies, or whatever. Well, I got news for you. That will be the law at the end of 2016. So they can make those statements if they want to, but the reality is what they're saying is we're going to comply with the law. That was a position that NPPC took before that law was passed. As a matter of fact, yesterday was the actual final rule on the VFD, which is called the Veterinary Feed Directive, which means that you have to have a veterinarian write a script for any medically important antibiotics that are going to be used in feed or water, and I think it includes water. Does it include water? It does. It includes water for food and water, feed or water. Like I said, go back and look at the PQA Plus program and what our recommendations were, which, by the way, are backed up with on-farm assessments and third-party audits. And as you can see, we've actually led on this issue for a significant period of time. Those long-standing training and certification programs have worked to ensure that farmers and veterinarians use antibiotics responsibly, protecting the efficacy and availability of antibiotics for therapeutic and disease prevention purposes for the health and safety of animals and the food supply. And I thought it was interesting in the meeting at the White House yesterday that I expected this to be a little bit different, but really no one really ever challenged the fact that we as ethical caretakers of the animals in our care have a moral obligation to treat animals if they're sick. And the good news is there wasn't any pushback on that. They all recognize the fact that antibiotics have got to be used to treat animals if they become ill. We're also are continuing to support and encouraging others to join us in the effort to have veterinary oversight regarding all decisions concerning antibiotic use on farms. Like I say, the real issue, when you get right down to it, is really more focused in on antimicrobial resistance is the big issue, more so than anything else. We're working on many fronts to help address those important issues and want our customers to understand the safeguards that are in place to ensure responsible antibiotic use in pig farming. Farmers will continue to use antibiotics strategically, administered when pigs are sick, susceptible, or exposed to illness. We got no pushback on that yesterday. Farmers will only use antibiotics approved by the FDA to treat pigs and administer them according to label and dosing instructions. That's exactly what the PQA Plus program says. Farmers will work closely with licensed veterinarians on decisions about antibiotic use, particularly all therapeutic uses of medically important antibiotics in feed and water that require approval. As of yesterday, that's the law. During the decades antibiotics have been used in food animals, there's been no proven link to antibiotic resistance to antibiotic treatment failure in humans. However, we are working collaboratively to minimize any future risks. The pork industry embraces any measures that allows for the continued improvement, safety, and nutritional value of pork. In September last year, President Obama issued an executive order on combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria, or CARB. The strategy stressed the importance of preserving antibiotics for both veterinary and human medicine. It acknowledges that while it is uncertain if or how much antibiotic use in food animal production contributes to resistant infection in humans, it will be important for both human and veterinary medicine to take steps to curtail that resistance. In March, the action plan to implement the strategy was released. That strategy and plan are balanced, as evidenced by the interagency task force being led by the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Agriculture, and Defense. The CARB initiative supports FDA's strategy of discontinuing growth promotion use of medically important antibiotics, that's called Guidance 213, and moving all other uses of antibiotics to prescription, or VFD, which was the thing that was announced yesterday. These changes are still on track to be implemented by the end of 2016. It supports increased funding for research on resistance and alternatives to antibiotics and development of better diagnostic tests. Also provides incentives for development of new antibiotics for human medicine, and I would add that it would be very helpful if we had new antibiotics that were specifically for animals that are not used in human medicine. It asks for the coordinated surveillance of resistance in human and animal bacteria and of antibiotic use in human and veterinary medicine. The statistic that they kept throwing out yesterday, whether it's accurate or not, I'll leave you to decide, was that there are approximately 2 million cases in the United States per year of infections that are resistant to antibiotics. And of those 2 million infections, their estimate is that there's approximately 23,000 deaths. I don't know. Stresses for the need for international collaboration, since this is a global concern. The president's budget requested $1.2 billion to accomplish these goals, including increasing USDA Agricultural Research Service funds and the competitive grants program through the National Institute for Food and Agriculture. Dr. John Clifford, who's the highest-ranking veterinarian in the U.S. government, or USDA, told us yesterday that he broke it out into what the component of that $1.2 billion was for agriculture, and it was $77 million. If you do that math, I'll do it for you. It's about 6.5%. I'm not impressed. There's also an increase in funding for the National Antimicrobial Resistance Monitoring System, which we call NARMS. These are all activities that we have been and will continue to be supportive of. New funding is being sought in the president's budget to collect better data on how antibiotics are being used in medical clinics and hospitals and on the farm. And we made the point yesterday that we intend to be as cooperative as we can be, but we would certainly like some assurances that specific and individual data is not leaked on antibiotic use, such as was leaked by EPA involving personal data on our producers.